Okay. Hopefully they do. So, deity worship in Sanskrit means archana. Archana means, of course, worship. So we have what are called archa vigraha, or forms for worship. Now, in the Western world sometimes, in India also, if you look in the newspapers, they'll talk about idol worship, that we're worshiping idols in the temple. So that word is actually wrong, because the word idol actually means a false image or a false god. And it is used in Christianity to condemn false religions. So in the newspapers, they say they worship the idols in the temple. That means they're worshiping false gods in the temples. So it's an insult to people who are worshiping Krishna or other deities. So therefore, the word idol is not the proper word. So we call it the Sri Murti or the Archa Vigraha. So these, of course, are forms, authorized forms of the Lord. They're not concocted forms. Some religions do not believe in any form, that God can never take a form, materially or spiritually. There is no form of God. You can never depict God at all. You cannot see God, even if you have spiritual eyes. So that is Shankara's philosophy. The final realization is realization of no form and no qualities. So what do you realize? Can you realize something with no form and no qualities? No. So some people say, therefore, it's nothing. You don't realize anything. Realization of Brahman means realization of nothing, actually. And the same goes for Buddhism. Buddhism, they say nothing. That's the ultimate realization. Jain and Sikhs also say nothing. If we look at Islam, what do they say? No form, no qualities. Look at Judaism, no form, no qualities for God. Christianity, maybe, maybe not. Not quite sure. So, in the Vedic literature, this is probably the only religion in the world that says positively God has form, qualities, and activities, but they're not material, they're spiritual. Only religion in the world that says that. So that is the uniqueness of the Vedic concept of God. So, of course, the form of God is spiritual. And another unique thing is that God is unlimited in his powers, so he can have many forms and be one person. So we should not think that Vedas mean many gods. In the West, this is called polytheism. So they say Hinduism, a polytheistic religion, they believe in many gods. Certainly, many people think like that because there are Shiva and Durga and Ganesh and Murugan and so many other forms in the temples that they worship. So, okay, we got many gods. If we look in the Vedic literature, if we look in the Bhagavad Gita, if we look in the Bhagavatam, then this theory or this concept is rejected. There's only one God. This is what we call monotheism. And this is what Christianity says and Islam says also. Monotheism, one God. So if we look in the Bhagavad Gita, same concept. Except the one God can have many forms. And in other religions, he doesn't have a form. One entity with no form, no qualities, no activities. The scriptures, the Vedic scriptures tell us, no, God is one, he has many forms, he has all sorts of activities, all sorts of qualities, all spiritual. If we have this God with wonderful qualities and activities and form, etc., we can form a very wonderful relationship with God, an affectionate relationship with God. If God has no form and you can never know him, can you love him? Can you love somebody that's you can never see, never hear, never speak to? Can you love that person? No. Why would we love him? So, if God has wonderful qualities and you can speak to him, then you can establish a good relationship with him. But, as I said, you have to have spiritual senses, spiritual mind to do that. So, the process of bhakti is the process by which we can develop spiritual vision so that we can see the spiritual form. We can experience the wonderful nature of the Supreme Lord and we can have a relationship with Him. That is the process of bhakti. So, in process of bhakti, what do? We engage our material senses and our material mind. But because it's directed towards the Supreme Lord with devotion, the senses and the body and the mind do not give any material effect. They give spiritual effect. So this is what bhakti yoga is. We can utilize senses, etc. We can utilize material objects. No material result. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower, water, with devotion. There's no karma for that. It's not a material activity. Why? Because it is offered to the Supreme Lord, who is spiritual, with devotion on our part. Then, no material effect, as spiritual effect. So, Krishna says, offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower. So who is Krishna? So we have to offer the leaf or fruit or flower. How do we offer it to Him? So we have to say, who is Krishna? So how do we find out who is Krishna? Is He black? Is He blue? Is He yellow? Is He purple? How do we know? We can't see Him. We get scriptures. So we have to hear from scriptures, authorized scriptures. So we have Bhagavad Gita, we have Bhagavatam and other scriptures. So in this we can figure out the form of God, what He looks like. Of course, He has many forms. So we have descriptions of Ramachandra. He is green. We have descriptions of Varaha. He can be red or black or white, but He's a form of a pig. We have descriptions of Hamsa. He's a bird. Descriptions of Narasimhadev, lion form. Descriptions of Krishna, dark blue. Cowherd boy. So this is from scripture. So we get our information about God, not from concoction in our mind, but from scripture. So then we can offer to the Supreme Lord by thinking of form of Krishna. We offer to Krishna and think of this Krishna. But most people find it a little difficult to do that, to do everything in the mind. Therefore, we have deity forms. You don't have to think, what does Krishna look like? So we have forms based on the scripture. Forms of the Supreme Lord, forms of Krishna, form of Ramachandra, form of Narasimhadev, according to the scriptures. That we don't have to imagine anything at all. We just, the scriptural form is there. And then we can directly offer the leaf, the fruit, or the flower to Krishna. So the objection there is, well, yes, Krishna is spiritual, but then we're using material elements. We have stone or marble or brass or wood, and we're making these deities out of material things. So how can that be Krishna? It's material. So the answer is this. We take the forms according to scripture. So in one sense, yes, the forms are there, but the materials are material. So we have a ceremony called Pratishtha Karma, the installation ceremony. And in that ceremony, we purify the elements. We energize the elements. We spiritualize the elements, and we call in the Supreme Lord. Then it becomes spiritualized. So it is no longer stone, metal, wood, etc. It becomes spiritualized through the ceremony of Pratishtha. And of course, very important there is use of mantra, sound. So therefore, the deities in the temple are not idols. They're not imaginary. They're according to scripture, and they're established according to scripture with devotion. So they become non-different from the Supreme Lord. So we can offer items to that, and the Lord will accept. So as I said, it's difficult for us to simply do everything in our mind, so we have the deity forms. Now the deity forms are there, but we also know in Kali Yuga, the main worship is not deity worship. Deity worship was the main process of the Yuga Dharma and Dwarpa Yuga. That was over 5,000 years ago. Our present age is the age of Kali. So what is the Yuga Dharma and Kali Yuga? It is Nam Sankirtan, chanting the name of the Supreme Lord. So this is the main process for everyone to follow. Chant the name of the Lord. So then why do we need deities at all? In one sense, if you just chant Hari Nam, yes, you can do that and you can get perfection. However, our acharyas have told us that most people, they can chant, but they can't do this all the time and they still have difficulty understanding who is Krishna. Therefore, along with the chanting, we have the deity worship. So this helps out the process of chanting. Very, very good assistant to our chanting process. When we chant the holy name, we can also think of the deity. So when we say Hare, what do we think of? Radha. When we think of, we say Hare Krishna, Krishna we think of? Krishna. Think of the deity. We don't have to think, oh, well, who's that? What is that sound, Krishna? What does it mean? Think of the deity. Therefore, the process of having the deities and worshiping the deities is an assistant to chanting Hare Krishna. Now, what does Hare Krishna mean? It is calling out to Radha and calling out to Krishna. And what are we calling for? Are we calling out, oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, please give me some money. So what do we pray for? Please give me nice husband. Please give me children. Please give me a son. Please help me pass my examination. Please give me a promotion in my job. If you go to regular temples, this is what they pray for. And they put some hundi, and they pray for some material thing. You go to Balaji, what are they praying for? Material things. Balaji is very rich, but what is everybody praying for? Material things. They're not praying for Vaikuntha. Is anyone going to Balaji and praying, let me serve you in Vaikuntha? No, nobody's praying like that. They're all asking for some material thing. So when we pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, we're calling out to Krishna, what do we pray for? Service. How can I please you? How can I serve you, Krishna? So, we have the deity. Good way we can serve Krishna. How we can serve Krishna? You can offer him something. Krishna says, offer me a leaf, a fruit, a flower. So you can offer objects to Krishna. How you can serve him? Yeah? You can cook for Krishna. You can clean the temple for Krishna. So many different services you can do for Krishna. He's directly there, and you can do so many things for him. So the deity provides us a method in which we can fulfill this prayer of Krishna. Please engage me in your service. So we have many ways of serving the deity form. Therefore, though Nam Sankirtan is the main process, we do have, along with that, the deity forms, deity worship. And this is very, very powerful combination for us. We see our Goswamis. Lord Chaitanya had deities. Lord Chaitanya worshipped deities. Lord Chaitanya went to temples, like Jagannath Puri Temple. The Goswamis all had deities. Gopal Bhatta had deities. Rupa Goswami had deities. Sanatana Goswami had deities. Raghunath had deities. Everyone had deities. Even though Nama Sankirtan is the main process. So it is very helpful for us in sadhana to worship the deity forms. It helps us realize Krishna through the holy name. So, therefore, you come to the temple and you pray for service to Krishna and you chant Hare Krishna, and then you actually should do some service for Krishna, practical service for Krishna. And this will help you advance in the process of bhakti yoga. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Before we start the main festival, the Pushyabhishek, we would like to very fast go through this.